Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
As Baptists, we are to hold to the beliefs that are contained in this document. And if a group does not hold to what we are about to examine, and they carry the name Baptist on their sign or on their door or over their head, they ought to remove that name from the door, from the church, from whatever it may be, because it's representative of these beliefs that we hold to. And here's what we find. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Baptists believe, or as I mentioned, they should believe if they carry that name, that lost sinners are drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." What this means is that mankind, in its lost, separated form from God, does not come to the Father whenever or wherever he or she wishes. One does not get saved whenever they just want to get saved. Don't lose me. It is a response from oneself to the call of the gospel that constitutes true salvation. Secondly, one's response to this call is voluntary. This is outlined in our document. Salvation is not only contingent upon the call of the Spirit, but also on each person's receiving of Jesus Christ for themselves. Salvation comes through one's receiving a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. It's not from receiving baptism. It's not through reformation or church membership or good works. Nothing but Jesus. Men and women must receive him. Jesus spoke of this in John. The Bible outline, we'll get to what Jesus said in a moment, but in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born," don't miss this part, "not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This means that they felt the call of God on their life for repentance, and they responded to that message. May I propose to you today that in our sharing of the message of Christ to a lost and dying world, if we fail to neglect or to ignore the duty that the Holy Spirit has to draw men towards the Father, we miss a vital element in our presentation of the gospel. It's not by our power and it's not by their power. They cannot. You cannot will yourself into the presence of God. You cannot will yourself into a state of being declared righteous before God. It is not possible. It is only available to us because the Lord calls to us and we respond. But we have a choice to respond or to reject. It's voluntary. What Jesus said, we must receive him because he said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If one will not receive Jesus as the Christ, they will be forever lost and without help or hope. John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Let's continue reading the covenant. To receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and on the profession of our faith. We're about to cover the issue of baptism. The document is about to reach baptism. But prior to baptism is profession. Salvation and a public confession that one has received salvation should always precede baptism. When one truly believes in Jesus Christ, they should enter into a lifelong pilgrimage of publicly confessing him as Savior before the world. Salvation occurs when one receives Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior by grace through faith. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This occurs when one takes freely of the water of life that's been offered. So now the question, if one has already been saved before confession and baptism, why should they confess publicly that they've been saved and be baptized if the salvation has already taken place? Well, it's a great question. We could go back and forth on arguments and reasonings all day long, but let me just simply share with you why the Bible says. First, one should publicly confess they've repented of their sin and accepted Christ Jesus as Savior because the Lord commands it of believers to confess him without shame. You could read Mark 8:34 and 38. Secondly, one should confess or testify that they're saved before baptism because that has been the practice of New Testament believers throughout Scripture. It's the example set forth. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, "There's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" You know what Philip required of him? A public confession, Philip's presence. Do you believe? And we find that the Ethiopian eunuch said, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And guess what? He was baptized. We find that Peter required this of the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter number 10, near the end of the chapter. Paul and Silas preached salvation in Christ before baptism to the Philippian jailer. And we go on and on and on. But you need to understand, a personal public confession of faith is required from the Lord, from everyone, before they are a fit subject for baptism, scripturally. And a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord should continue to be present in an individual's life long after baptism. So in order to qualify for church, we see the necessity of salvation, public profession, and now baptism. So before that subject of baptism, we won't cover it this morning. You need to understand this reality, and this hopefully will help set the mindset for the rest of the morning for you. Church isn't for everybody. Don't misunderstand. Listen very, very closely. Church isn't for everybody. Do you know what is for everybody? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's for everyone, the whole world. Church, being a member. When we think church, we think we gather together and worship. Church, being a member of a local body of Christ has qualifications. It's not for everybody. It's for those that have been saved, publicly professed Christ as their Savior, and received scriptural baptism. You see that spread everywhere and plastered on. It's mottos for church and everything. Church is for everyone. It's for everyone. No, scripturally, it is not. It is for believers that have been obedient to the commands of Christ in following in baptism. And that leads to the next section, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we won't cover this for sake of time. We'll get ready to close. We dare not baptize in any other way than in the way that Jesus instructed his church to officiate baptism before he left and ascended. And Dad's over there in Sudan baptized 52 people. And you know how he baptized them? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that's what Jesus... I want to encourage you to read over the church covenant, examine if you are fulfilling your pledges to God. Us as a church body, if we are individually upholding these values. If not, we need to take a little more serious look at how involved we are in church. Not social activities and events, these kind of things, but how active we are involved in the work of Jesus Christ. That's what church is about, the body of Christ. It's a great privilege to be a part of church. The next paragraph, this is about the second sentence in or so after the punctuation, I should say, says to strive for the advancement of this church. And that's what we are going to talk about this morning during the worship hour. That's the title of the message, is this church. Why is it so important that you realize what a privilege it is to belong to a local New Testament church? Because it ought to get you motivated to participate. You meet those qualifications and you have joined yourself together to this body. It's not just to sit around and do nothing. It's to be active in carrying out the great commission that Christ has left his church. So we'll get more into that into the morning message. But I'd encourage you, I know not everyone will be able to, but instead of our regular Bible study through the book of James, we're going to continue on the church covenant tonight at 5 o'clock, and we're going to get into what these pledges really are. Now that we've established, this is not set forth by man. These are following the principles of God to qualify. So what does God require of those who have joined themselves to his body? Come back tonight at 5 o'clock and you'll find out. If you can't, then go back and watch it once it's eventually uploaded, whenever that happens. We're going to pray, be dismissed, prepare for morning worship, and then choir immediately head to the back. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again to be here in this place. Lord, this place, not being under this roof and inside of these walls, but this place being the gathering of these believers. Lord, that we've covenanted together as a body of Christ to carry out your commands. May you help us to realize the responsibility that we have, the accountability that's present in our life, to be held of our life living in accordance to your word. Father, may we all be encouraged today by the things that we hear out of Scripture, by the songs that are sung. May our worship be pleasing and acceptable. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.